Development Regulation Board meeting. If you'll rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, if we can go ahead and do the roll call, please.
Mr. Henderson.
Here.
Mrs. Lucas.
Here.
Mr. Dolney. Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Cuff.
Here.
Mr. Davis.
Here.
Mr. Neese.
Here.
Mr. Beebe.
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. First item tonight is the minutes from our previous meeting. You have those before you. Do we have any corrections, comments? Or a motion to approve them?
Move we approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Cuff to approve.
Second
by Mr. Henderson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unopposed. Hello.
I apologize for my tardiness.
No problem. We just started, so. Okay. Only other item tonight is a Tier 2 technical site plan for a assisted living facility, Cypress Point Parkway. And with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Tyner and his team.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, everybody. This project, this actually goes way back, at least the concept does, and it goes way back to 2004. I'll tell you why, is when we were doing the future land use map for this property, we designated it as a mixed-use area. And there's some vacant pieces of property along Cypress Point Parkway where the old city office used to be, as you recall. And then when we did our zoning map back in 2008, we all, including the planning board, with their recommendation and going through our first zoning map, wanted to designate this specific piece of property as multifamily. And why multifamily? Well, you've got a church nearby. You've got shopping opportunities like the Winn-Dixie across the way. You got City Marketplace. You got offices. So it really, really makes for that mixed use. So, you know, since our zoning map was done in 2008, it really remained vacant. The market starts kicking back up, and I think with Starling, we started our conversations probably well over a year ago of the concept of putting an assisted living facility at this location, which in our opinion is very consistent with the future land use map and very what we all envision of having some multifamily or some form of multifamily with assisted living to have these facilities in close proximity. So tonight we bring you the, it's a Tier 2 site plan for the 74 unit a proposed assisted living facility. Mr. Hoover will have the staff presentation and with those details, and the applicant is also here tonight. So, Bill, if you can give the staff presentation.
Good evening. Bill Hoover from the Planning Division. The site is about 4.33 acres, and it's located on the south side of Cypress Point Parkway, just west of the City Marketplace. And it's proposed for 74 ALF units with 86 beds. And some of the units may be designated for memory care patients. The building will be a single building, 65,500 square feet, and it'll be two-story. The future land use element designates this as mixed use, as Ray has mentioned, and you can see that it's inside a big red area, and to the south it's bounded by a freshwater creek there, or canal. And besides commercial and mixed use, and office and some other stuff, future land use element policy 1.1.1.1c makes an interesting statement. It says, "A blending of residential and institutional land uses is also allowed in this land use designation." So that's very important for this project. Zoning is MFR2, multifamily, and assisted living facilities is a permitted use in that zoning district. And to the north and east, again in red, you can see general commercial or COM2 lands, and to the south and to the west are public, semi-public lands, or PSP. And this is a look at the site plan. And one of the key things that they're doing here that we like a lot as from the city planning department, it supports a lot of elements in the comprehensive plan, because we've got a shared access on the northwest corner of the site where there's a full median opening on Cypress Point Parkway. And the little bit to the west is a vacant commercial property, and that will also get access off of that access opening there. And the other one, you probably drove by quite a few times. It's about 200 feet south of Cypress Point Parkway, and it comes off of the City Marketplace Drive. And so there's easements in place for those two access points. Additionally, you can see a sidewalk going nearly completely around the building, and then that sidewalk goes out to the middle section there, right in here, and it'll go out and connect with the city sidewalks there.
Do we have INT?
No, it's not yet.
Okay, and we could see the building a little bit better in this blow-up, and because the parcel is not shaped rectangularly, the applicant has rotated the building, the west half of the building, probably 20 degrees or so. So it's northeast to southwest, while the right half of the east half of the building is more north to south. And inside the right half of the building, you can see an interior courtyard area with landscaping and walkways. And then between the two buildings, you can also, there's another walkway area with a garden. And then to the very south in the middle, you can see a deck out there with a rail on it. That will be just north of a large lake, so that the residents will have the opportunity to go out there and sit by the lake on a nice day. Here's the front building elevation. And staff has reviewed this for massing, articulation, fenestration, paint colors, and roofing materials. And all those standards have been met. Actually, I have to believe they were all met on the first submittal. And the MFR2 has some specific requirements. One is this parcel is just over the minimum parcel size. And we have a maximum impervious surface ratio of 70%, and this one comes in easily under that at 48%. Maximum building height is 60 feet. This one comes in a little less than 40. And the building setbacks range from 10 feet to 25 feet, and what they're setting it back is at least double every one of those minimum setbacks. The minimum parking requirements are 56 spaces, and they're providing 57. And then on landscape buffers, there's a 35-foot required one along Cypress Point Parkway, and all the other ones are 10 feet. At the request of planning staff, they did hold a neighborhood information meeting on February 23rd at the community center. Four neighbors who owned or leased commercial properties in the neighborhood attended, and some of the concerns and questions that arose included access points, parking, traffic congestion, potential noise from emergency medical vehicles, and what type of services the assisted living facility would provide. And project engineer Kimberly Buck And Bill Long, who represents the developer, responded to the neighbor's comments. Planning staff has heard no comments since then, so that's a good sign, nor have we heard anything on this for or against since it was submitted. And like all Tier 2 projects, this project gets reviewed based on Chapter 2, Section 2.0505, and there's five criteria that each project has to meet before you can recommend approval. The proposed development must not be in conflict with or contrary to the public interest. And staff determined these were met because it's designated mixed use in the future land use map designation, and the zoning is MFR2, and both of those specifically allow assisted living facilities. The second criteria is the proposed development must be consistent with the provisions of the Land Development Code in the comprehensive plan, and staff has found that it's met all the criteria in the Land Development Code, and it actually supports eight different goals, policies, or objectives of the comprehensive plan. And that's the first time I've seen a plan come in that beats that many policies, goals, and objectives. So the comprehensive plan strongly supports this project. Third criteria is the proposed development must not impose a significant financial liability or hardship for the city. And basically, since this is an infill project, the infrastructure is already there. And basically, they're just going to add this west access. They might do some connections out there in the right-of-way. But basically, it's pretty simple. So the city does not have to write a big check or anything to make improvements for this project. The fourth criteria, the proposed development must not create an unreasonable hazard, nuisance, or constitute a threat to the general health, welfare, or safety of the city's inhabitants. And staff did not find any issues on this since it will meet all Land Development Code and Building Code standards. And the final criteria is the proposed development must comply with all other applicable local, state, and federal laws, statutes, ordinance, regulations, or code. And they've submitted plans and permits to all applicable agencies, and they will have to meet those standards. Planning staff recommends that the Planning Board approve application 3016, Starling of Palm Coast Assisted Living Facility, Technical Site Plan Tier 2, subject to three conditions. Finalizing the landscape plan per Section 11 of the Land Development Code, submitting an irrigation plan meeting the requirements of Section 11.03, and submitting an updated signed and sealed survey with a note that it was based on the most current title. And the title was resubmitted fairly recently, and so we've already had a survey to work off of. And additionally, the landscape plan has also been submitted, and Bill Butler's on vacation right now. So there's probably, it's mostly small cleanup items and switching a shade tree out with a understory tree, things like that. So staff feels very comfortable conditioning this project. Are there any questions for staff?
Mr. Chairman, we did put the landscape plan within your package.
I saw that. Appreciate that.
Welcome, sir.
And the applicant is here.
Yeah, I was going to say, does the applicant want to make a presentation? If so, come on up.
Good evening. I'm Kimberly Buck with the Allen Engineering Group, 880 Airport Road in Ormond Beach. And I have the developer, Bill Long, and the architect, Jack Braxton, with me tonight. Bill has pretty much covered everything that I had in my little speech, so I don't have a lot to add. We've got the color site plan. Probably better shows the the garden area in the memory wing, an enclosed outside garden that is secure. And, you know, the entrance will be pavers, so it'll be, you know, have a nice appearance. And as Bill stated, we have an overhanging deck for fishing or sunning, just, you know, an outdoor an area that would be attracted to the assisted living side of the facility. The project will offer 55 equivalent full-time new jobs for the area, and really we're, you know, it is a kind of a fresh new beginning for you know, a need for this area that will be affordable. Bill, can you put the other photo up? And as you can see, it's an excellent looking facility, and we have a great architect. So really anxious to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, let's maybe start down with Mr. Henderson, and if you have questions for staff or for the applicant.
I just wanted to know, can you put the slide back on that was just on? Yeah, what is this gray area going around the whole? Is that a walkway or a wall?
That is a walkway. The one with the triangular shape on the end? Yes. That's all exterior walkway and garden area.
And the green around the walkway is all vegetation?
Yes, it'll all be landscaping.
Fine. Mm-hmm. On the front side of that, I see two walkways going out. That's going out to the present walkway that's there now.
Correct.
Okay, that's it.
Do you anticipate any adverse impact to wildlife in that area during construction? Is there any displacement?
No, we don't. We had Environmental Services did a report, environmental report, submitted that, and addressed all those concerns. We're actually not impacting almost an acre of wetlands. That you can see the big green swath there outside the, I guess, the southwest corner of the site, that we're not impacting during the construction period. And, you know, we've addressed, I think, any concerns that the county and city have had on the environmental side through that report that was submitted by ESI.
Secondly, you mentioned there are approximately 50 new employment opportunities that would be presented. Can you tell me what kind of or what quality of are we talking about?
Sure. So, you know, for a community this size, you know, we'll have somewhere in the 50s, but call it 55 full-time equivalent employees, and that'll have anything from management-level positions, executive director, director of nursing, director of sales and marketing. You'll have a lot of caregivers, so a lot of healthcare jobs here for LPNs and nurses. And then all the way down to a chef, cooks, servers, housekeeping. It's staffed very heavily. It's a high acuity type care facility blended with an apartment style living arrangement with kind of this hospitality service layered in. It's kind of our you know, service platform, if you will. So it's very heavily staffed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Based off the site development requirements, why not add more?
Want to add more units?
Units,
yeah.
More beds. Max out your density. I mean, you've got plenty there. I mean, I'm just wondering, mm-hmm. Are those wetlands significantly impacting going to three stories, which mm-hmm. obviously you have the room for? Mm-hmm.
We actually do an extensive amount of work on that type of question, and we have a community in Tampa, one in Jacksonville. Those are larger markets from a population standpoint, obviously, and. In those locations, we chose to do around 90 units. So relative population-wise to those municipalities, you know, we're pulling it back a little bit because we feel like this is a smaller market. But, you know, assisted living is a needs-based community. It's not a lifestyle choice. So, you know, by nature of the business, it's very difficult to project when people reach that time when they have a need and they need to move in. It's not like an apartment where you might lease a lot of units every month. So we're just conservative by nature as a company, and feel that this is the appropriate size for Palm Coast.
Is the design of the building to be, for lack of a better word, compartmentalized, so you have ILF, memory care, ALF, and hospice?
Segments we have here is assisted living and memory care. Memory care is actually licensed by the state under assisted living, so it's technically considered the same thing from a licensure standpoint. But memory care is a very different need. It's much higher acuity. There's obviously dementia and memory loss issues that you're dealing with in that environment, so it's a secure wing. By nature of that resident mix, you have flight risk that you deal with pretty commonly, so it's secured. It's indoor-outdoor spaces are very big to us. We have a courtyard that's in the kind of like a donut in the middle of the building. So that's all secured, it's enclosed. And that's the one wing that you saw where the donut is on the first floor, and the balance of the building on the west side of the building, and all the second story is assisted living. And they have separate amenities, separate kitchens, dining, multiple dining venues, obviously courtyards. But there's no independent living, which is, less care, more lifestyle, and there's no hospice. This community.
How many elevators are you anticipating?
There's two elevators.
Thank you, sir.
You would plan to use as access from Cypress Point Parkway the existing entrance to Canopy Walk? No, it's not Canopy Walk.
City Marketplace.
Mm-hmm. And also the one on the east side, on the west side. Is going to be a second easement with your neighbor to use as access?
That's correct.
Have you gotten an easement from City Marketplace and the owner of the other lot?
So the easement is in place for City Marketplace. It was when we bought the property. And we actually have the other property under contract, and we'll be closing on it pending an easement release, which is already submitted to St. John's Water Management District.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
We have the second property under contract next door.
The one to the west?
The one to the west. And we'll be closing on that in a matter of probably 30 to 60 days. It's just pending a final approval of it.
What are your plans for that property?
To put an access drive. We very much wanted to have a main entry that aligned with the median. Otherwise, you have to do a U-turn to get and then kind of go in this shared drive for some marketplace, which we didn't feel was a good front entry.
Is that car wash still viable there?
Oh, yeah. Site plan's approved.
But that's not directly adjacent to this property?
Yeah, it's to the west.
Mm-hmm. So is that easement going to be the entrance to the car wash as well?
No. There's a vacant commercial piece in between.
I'm sorry, Bill.
There's a vacant commercial piece. So the piece they're buying is not very wide.
Oh, okay.
It was owned by the Commercial Property Owners Association. Then there's another vacant piece there, let's say it's a half acre or so, and then the super car wash will be further to the west.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have a plan breakdown of memory care versus assisted living, the number of beds?
Yep, so the memory care is 18 units, 24 beds. Six of those units are semi-privates. They basically are two units that share a Jack and Jill bathroom. And then the balance are all assisted living units, and it's a mix of studio, one-bedroom, and two-bedroom units.
For staff or the applicant, the City Walk shared access is right in, right out at that location, correct? The only median cut is down at the other end. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That's all I have.
Glenn?
Nothing.
Okay.
I'm waiting for it.
All right.
Hey. Save his space for Glenn.
I don't want to put you in it yet, so.
Yet.
You got to hurry up.
There you go. Just for informational purposes, just tell us a little bit about your amenities in terms of what you provide in your facility. Just kind of curious.
We're big on kind of pushing the envelope on what we do. There's obviously been a you know, expectation or an understanding what a nursing home is, you know, to today's population, and we're trying to change that. So very hospitality-driven, I think I mentioned that earlier. So you walk in and there's a bistro that is kind of a Starbucks in the morning and a bar at night. We have multiple dining venues, anytime dining, and so, you know, you don't ring the bell at 5 and come down and get your tray. You could eat in the bistro, you could eat outside on the patio, you could eat in the main dining room, you could eat in your room. Very technology-driven. There's a lot of technology in these buildings from a social and care and monitoring standpoint, which is a big differentiator for us. Very big on wellness. You know, as you might think in a community like this, you should be, but many aren't. But we have kind of germane to all of our developments, we have a wellness suite. So there'll be this very kind of expansive spa, like, you know, area of the building that has a spa, salon, massage room, therapy and fitness, and then kind of two walk-in bathrooms with changing rooms. It's, you know, very central to kind of how we program the building. And then, of course, there's, you know, activity rooms, multi-purpose room that functions as a theater, you know, display kitchen for doing activities around an open kitchen feel. And then the memory care side, we treat that as its own neighborhood. So there's been a lot of studies around making memory care settings smaller, more of a neighborhood setting. So you have your own kitchen, your own dining. It kind of feels like you're at home. You know, you have an open kitchen there, and everyone sits around in that that eating area. So we don't want our residents, if, you know, a resident were to come in, and many times they do, and to assisted living, and after maybe a year they develop, you know, early onset dementia, they would move to the memory care wing. We don't want them or their families to feel like there's a step down. So the level of finishes and amenities are every bit as great in that wing as they were in the assisted living wing. So they have their own salon and spa as well, their own dining venues and own activity rooms, and then very heavily landscaped and trying to take advantage of the, you know, beautiful setting and lake behind it.
Okay, thanks. And then are you the developer and operator?
We are, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm.
So we're a developer and operator, you know, all, I guess, vertically integrated, okay, seniors company. Yeah.
Okay. The stormwater drainage, Kim, is that the existing pond? Is that where, is that your stormwater?
Yes.
Okay.
It's part of the Property Owners Association.
Okay. Like, I had some other question. Oh, just go to the site plan, Bill, real quick. I just wanted to ask one question. In your upper left-hand corner, there looks like there's a little
concrete.
It's almost like a dumpster pad, but it's not your dumpster pad. What is that?
It's the concrete pad that's required under the backflow preventer.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, good. I was just kind of curious what that was sitting out there. Go ahead.
Unit says 74 units, and it's 86 beds. I kind of throws me off.
Yeah, so they're in the memory care wing. Six of the units are semi-privates, and again, those are two units that share a Jack and Jill bathroom. The idea there is to offer a setting where you have maybe more affordable. It's very expensive in memory care, so
so every unit doesn't have. So some of those units that have, that we were talking about, extra beds, they'll be sharing a bathroom.
And just in the memory care. So there's six of those.
Okay.
And then, so I guess there's also four just two-bedroom units in assisted living, which, you know, just look like a two-bedroom apartment, really.
Okay.
Excuse me, I have one more question.
They can come and go, right? Except for the assisted memory, the rest can come and go, right?
For the most part, it depends on each situation. I mean, there's varying levels of or degree of care.
Custodial care, yeah.
So it kind of depends. If you have a very low acuity resident who might otherwise, you know, fit in an independent living setting, yes, and they might drive, but that's pretty rare. So for the most part, these are residents that need care with at least three activities of daily living. So it's very uncommon to have residents.
Now, the reason I ask that is because Walmart is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Across the way is Winn-Dixie,
mm-hmm,
and there's a number of small stores, and I didn't know whether they could come out and go across Parkway and walk over, if they're ambulatory.
We love the fact that it's close to all those, you know, shopping and dining and even health, you know, with the Flagler Outpatient Center. Their location's right next to it in close proximity. But it's mostly going to be our activity directors with them on group of five might go to lunch or might go to the store. Maybe you get in the bus and you might go to Walmart. It gives us a lot of options for local activities as opposed to having to drive across town. But, you know, more unlikely that you're going to have a resident mix that you would see just walking out of the community.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Fine.
Based off the site plan, ingress and egress for emergency vehicles, the southwest quadrant here, that's where your wetlands is, as well as your walkway, correct? Where your triangular walkway, your wetlands run along that irregular hill. Is there no room for circular access for emergency vehicles? Or is it always going to run the front and then out through the side?
We've done a thorough review of the fire, and it meets all of our standards. They don't necessarily, the trucks don't necessarily need to be able to get back as long as there is an appropriate level of, you know, the infrastructure of the building, number one. Number two, having the two accesses help, but also the fire.
I was referring more for like EMT services than fire.
Oh, yeah.
Is there an area for EMT services for easy ingress egress?
We provide a fairly large turnaround right in front of the building that's covered partially.
So they come in and out the front.
Yeah.
Okay. That was it.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And at this point, we need to. See if there's anybody from the public that wants to come up, and seeing that there's nobody here from the public, if we'll just let the record reflect that no one came forward, we will close that portion of this hearing, and we'll bring it back to the board for any additional questions, comments, statements, or a motion. So.
What's the timeline for development?
Timeline for development?
In terms of how long it takes to build it?
Yes, and maybe what you're projecting, if you have any of that you would like to share?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, based on the sort of hopefully here within rather plans, the price comes back as anticipated, we've seen a proposal from it, make it all as soon as possible. The construction time frame, probably about a 12 to 13 month construction schedule, and you need will be a lot, it's about a month. You're not allowed to submit for that until you get your CBO on your building. So we're getting about 14 months.
Okay. Thank you.
May I ask one last question?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, during that period of time, how do you intend to make those employment opportunities known to the public?
Can you do me a favor, though, because we're taking minutes. Can you come back to the podium? That's where the mic is.
Thank you.
Put this in right there, is it?
Well, yeah.
I had trouble hearing it.
How are we going to make the employment opportunities known to the public? Was that the question?
Yes.
So about 6 months before opening is when we'll really ramp up our core staffing on the marketing and management side. And once we have that in place, as we get near to opening, we will be blasting it out to the local community because, you know, we want to find the best staff possible. So we'll have help wanted ads, we'll have job fairs set up, we'll invite people to the community, set up a tent, and meet as many as possible. So we'll definitely make it known because it's important to us, obviously, to have, you know, the best that we can get.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else? Board?
Move approval of application number 3016, subject to the three staff conditions regarding compliance with Section 11 and the updated survey requirement, if that hasn't already been met.
I second it.
Okay, we got a motion to approve and a second by Mr. Jones. Any further discussion? If not, if you'll call the vote, please.
Mr. Henderson?
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Mr. Dolney?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Cuff?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mr. Beebe?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Congratulations, and welcome to Palm Coast.
Right.
And move it along a little quickly, because some of us are going to need it.
Let's see if you brought a sign-in sheet along with you.
Yeah,
can we get our names on the list now?
That's right.
Anything else from staff?
Just real quick, bottle club ordinance passed. Your recommendation went to city council, and they didn't change a thing, did they?
Excellent.
Went as is, so appreciate that.
It went, done twice?
It's done. Yeah, it's done.
So that means that no possibilities.
Right. Yes, sir. No bottle clubs. Been meeting with F-Card. Regarding the landscape code, we're making good progress. We're actually going to be meeting on a weekly basis starting next week to make sure we get it done. So that will be coming to y'all probably in the near future to start workshops on the landscape code, as well as the environmental chapter, as well as the architectural chapter as well. So we'll be calling you. Irene will be I can anticipate probably within a month or two, I'm hoping, that we will start our workshops with the chapter. So we'll be scheduling you to set different meetings for some workshops for that.
What's the, now that the Palm Coast has forbidden this type of club, what's to say they couldn't come into other parts of Flagler County? Is the county considering something like this to ban that type of activity?
Well, I know Flagler Beach did.
But suppose they come to Bunnell.
Bunnell has...
We talked to Bunnell, the community development director, and he was comfortable that they had existing zoning that would take care of it.
Okay.
Got a good point, Ray. You know, we went to all this trouble, and somebody could do this on... You know, 50 yards across the city line.
That's right.
In Bunnell or either further other part of the county. And that, believe me, it'll come to us.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I had, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Very good.
Move we adjourn.
Got a motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay. We'll see you next month. Thanks.